Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues in a verse-by-verse study of the powerful book of Revelation. Never before has John's revelation been more crucial to know and to communicate than right now. The state of Israel, Middle East tensions, European alliances, COVID-19, even our own national unrest are just a few of the precise indicators that Jesus is soon to return for His church. May we all be informed and inspired to speak these truths as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Hey, inhabitants of the earth, how about finally giving your heart to the Lord now? Please? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Chapter 9 and following, trumpets 5 through 7 are going to deal with the supernatural, the demonic hordes. We're finished with chapter 8. Join me now in Romans chapter 1. So why is God torching, judging His own creation? I think Romans chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 18. I think that's going to tell us. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Wrath means judgment. Why is God judging in the book of Revelation? I call it a holy hug. He's trying to squeeze a Christ-rejecting, God-hating planet against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is a fascinating word to suppress. That's the Greek word katecho. Katecho. And it means hold firm. It is a nautical term. That is, they know how they're supposed to go, but they hold the rudder of the ship against the flow. I got a picture for you. Any sailors in here? These two ladies, they're sailing this boat. It's easy to sail downwind. Just put the sail up and take your hands off and just let her rip. It's easy to get to this side of the lake. How do I get back? What you do is you cut your sail into a triangle. Is that called a jib? I'll take nautical terms for 300, Alex. You cut your sail into a triangle, and you come not directly in the wind. If the wind is blowing this way, you do what's called a tacking maneuver. You heel over to one side. You throw the rudder, and the jib spins around, and you heel back this way. It's hard work. Hard work. See the lady who's offsetting the balance of the boat, and she's got a little harness that she's sitting in. So she's straining against the weight of the boat because the sail is flopped over, you see. And see the lady in the back? Notice what she's holding on to with both hands. That's this word. That's katecho. You are holding a difficult course against the wind. I got one more for you. Check this guy out. Yeah, this guy's in trouble. He is trying to tack. He's not going to make it. He's standing up on his boat. Can you see his left hand reaching behind him? He's holding a rope. The rope is tied to the rudder. He is pulling with all of his strength against the rudder and leading all of his weight. No! No! I will not give in! That's this word. Let's read it again. You can take that off there. Unless you guys want to look at Mike Tyson. No? Let's look at it one more time. Is that a great quote or what, you guys? Everybody believes what they believe until they get hit in the face. Verse 18, one more time. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness, against men who suppress the truth. They know what they should do. They know the direction, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Every single human does. We grab that rudder. We pull it in the opposite direction. And it's tough and it's hard and I'm breaking a sweat, but I will not give in. That's this word. Verse 19. Well, why do they do that? Because what may be known of God is manifested in them. Some have called it conscience. Do you know that every single human being who has ever existed had the Spirit of God around them, knocking on the door of their heart? It takes consistent effort to hold the rudder, to catecho. Hold the rudder against that. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, what are some of God's invisible attributes? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Where? Being understood by the things that are made, the creation of God. When you're in the cement jungle of our typical city with our iPhones connected to our ear bones, we're plugged in, we're wired in, and we're socked into the culture. It's kind of hard to hear that still small voice of the Lord, but get out of town. It takes a few minutes to decompress, but when you do, and you're walking in the forest, newly fallen snow perhaps, near a waterfall, the birds, you catch a sunset, what occurs to every single human being? There is a God. Some have said, I don't. You did when you were a kid. Every kid does. Well, how come I don't feel that anymore? Because you have held against this knowledge of God so long that God, as we'll see here in a minute, has given you over. What? Watch this. Verse 20, one more time. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Where? Being understood by the things that are made, the creation. What is God doing? One of the witnesses that he is and he exists is the creation. And so the world is going, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. He's taken out the huge witness in the form of the church. They're gone. The two witnesses that he allows to witness against the Antichrist and that temple, they've been allowed to be killed. They've ascended. He has left 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams to evangelize the world. But by and large, what are most people saying? No. So you know what else he does? He takes away the witness of the creation. You want to live your life without me? Let me take a powerful witness. This is heavy stuff. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. What about the pygmies in Africa or whatever it might be? What if they don't get the actual gospel of Jesus Christ? Will they be judged? The answer is they'll be judged on the information that God gave to them. And part of what God gave to them was an understanding that all of this didn't happen by evolutionary processes. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him. Today's message is going to be titled, Knowing God, ... but not glorifying him. It's a serious thing. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. I wear the banner, the name tag that says Christian. And you know what Christian means, right? It means Christ-like, little Christ. Even in the church today, we love to do the music up and the audiovisual, and I'm all for great music and audiovisual. But what is sadly lacking in many churches is the teaching of God's word. Why? People don't want to be taught God's word. Yes, I do. No, you don't. We want tidy little snippets all around marriages, finances, whatever thing my felt need is. Pastor, grab a couple of verses higgledy-piggledy throughout the scriptures, line them up neatly in front of me so that I can take them in nice, digestible bite sizes. God's word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, does an entirely different thing. What happens? It convicts me of my sin. Jesus described the work of the Holy Spirit. Like me, he will convict men of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. There are so many people going to so many churches who feel the woohoo of the worship, and it is not followed up by the word. You mean the word that makes me feel better about continuing in the thing that I'm doing? I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. I'm cheating on my taxes. I'm going out on Fridays and Saturday nights. I'm getting high. No problem. I just come to church. I sing Jesus is my girlfriend songs about how much he loves me, and I'm good to go for another week. I would rather offend you here and have the conviction of his presence show you that your sins are killing you. I would rather offend you here, but see you in heaven. I think it's better for me to tell you what God says, and if that crowds you and offends you, please, by all means, take it up with him. Please, by all means, wrestle with them. It's okay to take all your basket of yabbits right to God. God says, don't sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Well, yeah, but... And then you give him while you get a chance to make null and void God's words and truths. We will never be a megachurch because God's word offends the sinner. And all the sinners in the room said, amen. Okay. Now watch this. Although they knew God, and I bet everybody in this room knows some aspect of God. But what you're not savvy to is you're also bringing in all of your culturalisms. You've got understandings of God that doesn't come from the Bible. It came from some teaching. It came from somebody you knew. It came from a 2020 expose. You saw Barbara Walters talk about whatever it might be. And the popular sentiment is God is the magic Santa Claus in heaven. Oh, loved one. He is holy. He is awesome and powerful. I guarantee you when you first see him, and you, like Revelation chapter 4, you see the throne and him who sat on it, from whom all heaven and earth exists. I guarantee the first nanosecond you arrive, you will not be, oh, and God, I'm going to talk to you about some stuff. And we will all fall out of our thrones and take these crowns that he has given us. And say, no, 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 no. You saved me. You gave me spiritual gifts. You empowered all the spiritual gifts that I used. And then you worked in the people that received the spiritual gifts. You saved me, empowered me, equipped me, and then you led all of my ministry. And any success of that ministry happened because you worked in their hearts. The only ability that I brought was my availability. That thought courses through us. We fall out of our thrones onto our face and we take these beautiful crowns and we give them back and we say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. I guarantee it's not going to be, here's what I want from you, Lord. Please make me feel better about my circumstance and situations. We are going to look at the Lamb looking as if he had been slain. And we're going to go, I am so glad I am saved. That's the God that we're seeing here. Let's look back at Romans, verse 21. Because although they knew God, you think you know God. I think I know God. But if I'm not careful, I will not glorify him as God. What do you mean? I'm going to grab the steering wheel from him, and I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to spend my money and spend my time and spend my talents and my resources. I don't care what. I'm going to go grubbing for everything that I can get. And maybe at the end of the week, I'll get out of bed and I'll go to God's service. But the music better be good. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him and live as if he is God. Nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And then their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing them to be wise, they became fools. I wrote in my Bible, and college professors. And changed the glory of incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. The creation, really. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And I wrote in my Bible, and monkeys. Verse 24, therefore, at some point, you hold that rudder hard enough against God's word and win. No, no. God will say, okay, go ahead. Therefore, God gave them up. What do you mean? He gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature, the creation, the tree huggers, Mother Earth. If that's your terra firma, God's going to shake it. The creature rather than the creator. By the way, look at the word creature. See how it's spelled? C-R-E-A-T. Do you see that the root of creature is creator? Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up. Took his hands off them. You go ahead and pull with all your might against the rudder, against the wind of my direction. Go ahead. He gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. What? Oh, hey. Are you talking about LGBT community? Even in the church, this is becoming the sacred cow nobody touches. But God's word addresses it. Verse 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. I want to hasten quickly. Oh, good. This is why we get to bash homosexuals. Absolutely not. Homosexuality is what this is talking about, but you can put any of your own sin in there. Pornographers, drug users, whatever it might be. In fact, against sin. And all the sinners said, that's right, that's all of us. God loves the sinner, amen. It's the sin that he's saying is wiping you out. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased minds. We've got, he's going to give them over to uncleanness. The constantly playing in their brain is the bad stuff. Verse 26, to vile passions. They won't be able to control themselves. And look what happens. You keep on that track long enough, then your brain's going to get messed up. To a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. You know what that means? Slanderers. They're always talking bad about other people. And I wrote my Bible there, that's Hollywood. One more time. Unrighteousness, sexually immoral, wicked, covet, malicious, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. There's one episode of Scandal right there. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now here's the one for the church. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Let's all stand together. Sometimes people ask me, hey, Pastor Steve, do you see America in the Bible? I said, I sure do. Ooh, where? Ezekiel? Look at Isaiah chapter 5. That's America. So debased was Israel. Their champions at drinking, for one of them. Their avocation, their amusement consumes them. Joining house to house, real estate, intellectualism. The judicial system is a sham. All of those are indicative of a society that has thrown off God's restraint. They knew God, but they did not give him glory as God. They pull with them their sins like a float in a parade. Have you seen any photographs or read any accounts of the gay pride parades that are now becoming more and more in vogue in our nation? Where they are literally pulling floats behind them with literal sex acts being depicted on the float. Would you pray with me? God judges his creation. Number one, it's his creation. He gets to do whatever he wants with it. But what is it about the creation? Romans 1 tells us that in God's creation, you can't help it. The witness of a loving God. If you watched puppies play, that's the heart of God. And Lord, forgive us when we know you. I know God, but we don't glorify you as God. Holy. Obedient to his righteous word. And Lord, for the Christian church in America, the Laodicean climate in which we find ourselves, don't you dare talk about these things, Pastor Steve. Because God is a God of love. He is a God of love. Watch how the God of love in Revelation chapter 8 is judging his own creation. Because it is a witness. I made this and I made you. And you don't like it because if it's real, that means you have to do what he says. And there's the rub. There's the pinch. I don't want to. Holy Spirit, come and be in this place this morning. There are people that need to get saved today. Does it bother me, Pastor Steve? I don't even think about it anymore. Oh, you are in danger. Are you given up by the Lord? Oh, I pray not. Lord, if there be conviction, let it fall now. In Jesus' name. You promised to convict us of sin and of righteousness and the judgment to come. It's coming. Are you ready? If you're not sure, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my sin. Lord Jesus, save me. Make my name written in the Lamb's book of life. I give you all of my sin and I receive the fullness of your spirit. I've always known you, but from today, I'm going to glorify you as God. That's you. Won't you lift your hand up right now? Yes. Yes. So many today. Yes. Yes, Lord. And Lord, bring us out of vanilla Christianity, kindergarten Christianity, consumer Christianity. What's in it for me? And let us become worshipers of an awesome, mighty God. And as the church, we have lost the awe of an amazing holy God. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe he's saying to us today, if that's you today, don't call me Lord unless you're willing and committed to do what I've asked. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Revelation with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful to understand God's clear plan for these very last days. May the Lord use all of us to tell others of Jesus' marvelous plan of salvation. and the obvious signs of His soon return. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.